Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
We thank you, Lord God, for the hope that we have in you. I'm reminded of even at your word, winds and waves obey you. And no matter what we face, God, we can be anchored in the truth that is Jesus. Amen, amen. Is that you today? Are you anchored in that hope? I hope so. Well, today I get the pleasure of introducing to you my favorite speaker. I think you're going to be encouraged. She's the best part of my life. And you may know her as the one that serves the great team of children's ministry people that oversee our mega church called Children's Ministry, about 100 feet down the hallway, that loves on your babies. But you're going to get a whole other side of her today. You're going to get the church planner campus ministry side of my lovely wife, Christy Cantrell. Come on up, baby.
Welcome, everyone. Glad to see you guys on this beautiful, beautiful September day. I myself love fall. I love the fall weather. I love that I can wear a little bit more clothes, which I always like as the years go by after five babies. But also, I think I love it as well because my little fair Irish skin, it doesn't seem to burn as much in the fall as it does in the summer. And then the fall brings newness to me. It brings new seasons. And today, we are going to talk about the next generation of new season campus ministry today here at Bethel. And so I want to thank Pastor Rice and Pastor James for giving me the honor and the pleasure of being here with you today. And like Mike said, I am his wife. My name is Christy. I used to get really annoyed when people would say things like, "Oh, are you Coach Mike's wife?" Because he used to be a coach. I'd say, "No, my name is Christy." But Mike and I do oversee Crib to Campus here at Bethel. And today I get to talk about one of my other passions besides children, campus ministry. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord God, for this day. I thank you for these people. Father, use me to speak your word in Jesus' name. So last week's sermon, if you guys were here, I thought it was phenomenal. Fantastic opportunity for our church, our Bethel World Outreach Church that sits on the corner of Granny White and Old Hickory Boulevard, to hear from our three founders, Pastor Phil Benasto, who's now based in California. Pastor Rice Brooks spoke at our second service. He's obviously our pastor here. And Pastor Steve Merle, who is the president of our ministry, Every Nation Ministries, currently. I thought it was, all three did an amazing job. Each one of them spoke at each different service. And so if you were only here for one service, you only heard one service, I'd highly encourage you, or you weren't here at all, I'd highly encourage you guys to go on the podcast. Now, honestly, I'm not a big podcast person. I don't go back and review messages, but I did review these messages because they were three different messages and yet profound for our church today. So please go back and get those podcasts. The two things, though, that stuck out last week that I'd like to bring into this week's message, it was one from Pastor Steve Merle. He said, "The vision of our ministry, the Every Nation Ministry, is to plant churches and campus ministries in every nation." And he wasn't talking about the name Every Nation. He actually meant in every nation of our world. I thought that was phenomenal. That's what God has called us to do as a church and as a movement. The other thing that stuck out with me is that Pastor James reminded us that our first name is Bethel, but our last name is Every Nation. And last names, they mean something, right? That's who you are. That's where your DNA, your lineage comes from. And certainly if we were to cut open ourselves here at Bethel and through Every Nation, we would see two strands of DNA, church planting and campus ministry. Now, we do a lot of great things around here, and we believe in a lot of great ministries. But at the core, we're church planters and campus ministries. And I, for one, am grateful for that. I'm actually a product of both of those. So this week, we get to conclude our We Are Family series that we've had in the month of August. Haven't you guys loved our set? Yeah. Say goodbye to it. We're going to have a new one. I love our We Are Family series. So we're going to say goodbye to our We Are Family series. But in conclusion of We Are Family, we're going to talk about how to reach the next generation in our family. Why is it important to reach the college campuses? Well, quickly, if you can think back to your own thoughts, your own testimonies of how you reached, who reached you, how old were you, and where you were. For me, I was very close to a college campus. But the college campuses, we don't have to look very far. They shape our worldview. They shape who our world is going to be, what our world is going to be. The next doctors and lawyers, missionaries, mommies, like me, daddies. They shape what's going to go on. That's why it's important to reach the college campus. And let me share a little bit about me before I get into my scripture today. Mike and I, we've been married 20 years. 20 long, glorious years. I don't know if it was longer for him or for me. That's always the debate. But we'll leave that to another time. We have 5 children right now, ages 16 to 6. And so Mike mentioned about putting that cash in the offering. Go ahead and just give it to me, because I need it. 16 to 6. We've had a lot of fun having 5 children over the years. But we were reached through a college and campus outreach. Before we were pastors or ministers or whatever our job title is today, I was actually in real estate, and he was a high school football coach. That was his dream. That was my dream. We were well on our way to our dream of what we wanted to have in our life. We didn't serve God. There was no God among us. I grew up with a strong faith of who God was, but I did not have a personal relationship with God. And Mike grew up serving the Trinity in another way, he himself and himself. Now, I'm not digging on him, just so you know, he'll say that out of his own mouth. We were serving ourselves. But one day, a knock came at the door of their football office. It was a man. He had just planted a church, and actually that church was planted from this church. So he knocked on the football office door, and he said, "Hey, my name is Franco Gennaro. I'm new in town. I have a church plant, but I'd love to do a Bible study with you if you'd like that. Can I help you?" And those great Southern coaches as they were, sure, we could use a little bit of Jesus. They had just started their season, and Mike had the opportunity in Murfreesboro to coach with his old coach. He coached in Clarksville for a few years. That was the roughest, longest 3 years of my life, because as a football coach, maybe some of you can relate, football is all about the numbers, if you don't know. So our first season of marriage and our first season of football coaching, we were 0-10. And if you don't know anything about that, I'll explain. Some of you chuckle, I know, because you understand. The first number represents how many games you won. That'd be O. The second represents how many games you had to play. 10. And we didn't just lose by a few points. We were slaughtered every single day. So the morale in our home, in our marriage, it was pretty low, because football was our God. Our career was our God. And so this man, he comes knocking on the door, and he says, "How can I serve you?" And this, he wasn't a college missionary. I don't even think he graduated from college, but he was just being obedient to answer the call of God on his life by knocking on that door. I'm so glad that he did, because that one knock on the door from this one man, and he was about 40. I can't remember exactly how old he was, but I remember he had 5 beautiful little children, and he was just, again, he was just obeying God. But just by knocking on that door, he changed my life and subsequently the lives of my children. Our lives will never be the same because of that one man doing a simple act of Christianity. I know. You need to give God the glory for that. Yes. So you may be wondering, what's your part? That's great for me. I'm here, and maybe I'm on staff at a church, and maybe that's my job for me. But what about you? How can you play a part? Because we all have a part to play in this great kingdom, right? So we're going to look at what God says about our part. So today we're going to read one scripture, Psalm 78, verse 1 through 8. It says, "Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that we have heard." Things. Don't y'all love how I say things? Okay. "Things that I have heard and known, that our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, but tell them to the coming generation. Tell them to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done. Verse 5, he established a testimony in Jacob, and he appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope. Everybody say, set their hope in God, and forget not the works of God, but keep his commandments, and that they should not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not steadfast and whose spirit was not faithful to God. Now, we could dissect that scripture. It's a pretty meaty scripture, I think, but I'm just going to tell you why I chose that scripture, and we're just going to break it down just a little bit. I love this because it plainly paints a picture of a God who believes in passing down the word from one generation to the next and to the next, even to the unborn child. That's how much God loves us and wants us to keep his word and pass it to the next generation. And next, it shows that we all have a part to play, all of us. He established a testimony in Jacob. He established a testimony in me. Part of my testimony is that I grew up in church. I loved going to church. I had no relationship, personal relationship with God until that fateful day when the man knocked on the door and met my husband where he was at in his darkness. And subsequently, I came along a few months later. We won't talk about how many months later it took me. But here we are today. So it's established a testimony. So your testimony is all about what God did in you. What is your testimony? Who reached out to you? And how old were you? Where were you? Were you on a college campus? Did you even make it that far? Did you endure the college years without anybody preaching the gospel to you? So that in those college years, much like me, I spent without a vision, without a hope, without any direction, just wandering around a college campus until the age of 26, someone reached me for Christ. And I would give anything. I do not live in regret. I don't do that. I don't think it's from God, but I don't live in regret. But I would trade those years, prime years of my life, if I could, to reach the next generation for Christ. Statistically, most people accept God as their Lord and Savior before the age of 25. What about you? How old were you? Then God appointed a law. If we keep reading on, he appointed a law. He gave us something that we could live by, right? He gave us amazing commandments that are fruitful for our lives. Because I don't know about you, but I did not live by any statute, any law of God. I just lived for myself, and I paid the price and had the fruit of it. For many, many years. And so he appointed us a law and commanded our fathers to teach the next generation. So if you are a man in this house today, you are a father, whether you have birthed or helped birth children or not, you all have a part to play. If you're a mother, if you're a wife, if you're a female in this room, you can be a mother to the next generation. And it doesn't take us very much to look across the canvas of the nation and of the world to know that we have an opportunity, the greatest opportunity, I think, in history, to preach the gospel, to spread the love of Jesus Christ in a hopeless and confused generation. So he pointed a law and he said, teach it to the next generation. And verse 6 is my favorite. It said, arise, get up off your pew. Get up off out of your cubicles and out of your courtrooms and off of your desks and your surgical tables. Whoever you are, if you're a businessman, a businesswoman, a stay-at-home mom like I was, just get up and arise and tell the next generation. Tell it to their children. And interestingly enough, I love that it doesn't say anything about what is your ministerial title. Only if you have a title, only if you've raised all your support can you be a campus minister. No, it doesn't say anything about that. God's design for us is that we would make disciples of all generations, no matter your career, your gender, your ethnicity, all of us. You know, over when Mike and I came to know Christ, I started learning a lot about myself. Some things I thought were okay, Some things I didn't think were okay, and we're still working on that. Thank God for sanctification. But I discovered a few things about God as well, that God is no respecter of persons. I was in real estate. I had my plan laid out. We had just had our first baby. Mike had just won the state championship, TSSAA, the highest honor a high school football team could have. They won a big fat ring, and that was it. We didn't have any credentials, we didn't have any training, but our hearts were forever changed, and our passion for the next generation began to grow stronger and stronger. And so we just arose. We did what we thought we could do. And basically, we opened our home to college students. And if you remember, if you were in college, what time do you get started when you're in college? 9, 10, 11 p.m., right? That's when the party starts. So we just happened to have a house, a little bitty house that we thought was a mansion. It had that old 1970s wood paneling, and the carpet was nasty and matted. And, man, we just thought it was great. I don't know what I was thinking. Anyway. So we just invited our college students over. And sometimes we opened the Bible with them. We taught them what little bit we knew. And then mostly we just fed them a lot. And that's what they need, friendship, relationships, to be fed. I love looking at our Instagram, my Instagram accounts, when I see that Addison Tweedy, one of our campus ministers, and he doesn't do it because he's a campus minister. He and his wife Lisa, they do it because they love the next generation. They have college kids over at their home every time, all the time. And so God is not a respecter of persons. We are just willing to show up and feed them and love on them. And our eyes were open and our passion was ignited during those early years. We had the opportunity to help plant two churches in our Every Nation family, and maybe we'll plant another one. I don't know. I'm not there yet, so we'll stay here for a few more years maybe. But reaching the next generation for Christ is an epic project. It's epic. It's unending, isn't it? And it takes every believer playing their part. No one can do it in one lifetime. This is not about us, and it's not about our church on the corner. It's about reaching the next generation for Christ that will leave an impact for generations and generations and generations to come. What would it look like? What would our world look like if we all just stretched out our hands and did what we could do to reach the next generation? I think we would have a pretty amazing world, don't you? So I'm going to invite my friend Delvin Pikes. Give it up for DP. I love Delvin. He's going to share his testimony, and he's going to tell you a little bit about the how to partner with our local church here to reach the next generation. We've known Delvin before he was married with his four kids now?
Yes.
Four children now. He had no children. We've known him 17 years. You knew me before. Right?
Yes,
he could probably tell some stories, so we'll leave that alone. I don't remember anything bad, but anyway.
No, I don't
either. Delvin was part of our life group, yeah. Right, at our home.
At your house.
And he had a big fro.
A real one, yes.
A real one.
Yes.
A real one, because he's so handsome that he decided, can I just tell you this right quick? I know. He's just decided that he wanted to follow Jesus wholeheartedly with purity and holiness. So he got a big fro, so all the ladies would not even think about looking at him. No, it's true. God will use anything to keep you holy. So here's DP.
Thank you, Christy. Actually, it was so my pea-sized head, the helmet from my football days would actually stay on my head. So that was my reason for going to football.
I thought it was for the ladies.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Christy. You know, one of the things that I just wanted to share with you guys is that it spoke to me powerfully. Is from Luke 15. And it's a life chapter of mine, life verses of mine. And there's a young man who he's in his dad's house, and he begins to realize that, you know what, this is kind of boring around here. You know what, I'm going to actually go run away from my family, and I'm going to go live it up. The life is not in the house, it's outside of the house. And he began to go live, and his mindset, you hear in kind of two words that he says, he goes to his dad and says, Father, give me. And that's how I lived my life for almost 20 years. I knew God was real. I'd grown up in church. You know, we always had a drug problem. I was drugged to church every single everything. And but my heart got cold. I never knew God. I never had a real relationship with Jesus, the one who made the church. I always say I knew a lot about the church of God, but I didn't know the God of the church. And I decided, you know what, college, like many students, I'm going to run away from home. I'm going to run away from God. I'm going to be in a place where I don't have to think about God. I don't have to think about rules, you know, what's right and what's wrong. All of that's thrown out the window. It's party time. And, you know, that's what I did for over a year in my first year of college. My GPA was a 1.7. I was wrapped up in perversion, lust, arrogance, pride. I played football, and so I my whole goal of my life was just to be popular, just to be famous. And it led me into really the darkest season of my life. And fast forward to, I wound up, the school I was at was Indiana. They dropped their football program, so I had to transfer to Middle Tennessee State. And thankfully, Pastor Franco was planting that church that Christy mentioned in Murfreesboro, our Bethel congregation that's there now. And he was not just reaching out to the high school where Pastor Mike was at, but also he was reaching out to MTSU's football team. And hear me, I was running away from God. I was not trying to find anything to do with God. I was trying to go do my own thing. And God found me there. And it was on this team that he began to reach out and invite us all the time to church. I mean, every single week he would invite us to the new church that they were starting. And for me, it was finally the dark night of the soul, where I realized, you know what, I've come to the end of myself. I've come to the end of my sin. There's no hope for me right now in my life. And I don't know anywhere else. I know God exists, but I just don't know him. And so I remember driving all night. You know, you know God's working when a black man will drive all throughout Tennessee in the middle of the night trying to sort out his life. And so that was me. And I remember it's clear as day. I remember driving and it just hit me. The thought hit me, oh yeah, there's church. I haven't been to church at school yet. There's church. He invited us to that church. Look, I need to go there in the morning. We had lost a tough football game the night before. And so I go to this church service and honestly, I was underwhelmed. There was nothing in the service. I mean, they're singing songs I didn't know from my upbringing, my tradition. And I remember going to this service and, you know, like I said, kind of underwhelmed. And the service is over and a 40-year-old man comes up to me and shakes his hand. I never met him before. He said, hey, listen, hey, what's your name? I said, my name's Del. He says, my name's Ron. I said, great. That's great to meet you. He said, well, listen, I'm going to be out on campus doing a Bible study with some of your teammates. If you'd like to be a part, I'd love for you to be a part. And something in my soul leapt. Finally, somebody was coming to engage me and help me learn about this God that desperately I was knowing at that moment I needed to know. Finally, somebody was coming to me to finally open up the scriptures and say, you know what? You don't have to come to church. We're going to come to you. And, and this Bible study, I know it seems real simple because a lot of you guys have been in church for years. For me, this Bible study transformed my life. Reading the scriptures for the first time ever. Before, I used to always say the Bible was my NyQuil. I could just go to sleep if I, you know, bad night, bad day. I just open it up, go to sleep. Suddenly, every page I turned to, the Bible, the words were jumping off the page. The words of Jesus were speaking to me. They were haunting me. I'd go to dark places and Jesus would be speaking through the word, reminding me of what had been said. My life started changing. And this simple Bible study, let me back up too for a second. The guy that was leading this Bible study was a 40-year-old country music singer from South Carolina, white guy. Now, I'm black. I'm from Louisville, Kentucky, and I grew up on 90s hip-hop. And so this is how open I was to the gospel, though. And this is how, I looking back, here's a man, too, he never went to college himself. He was terrified, in fact, coming out to campus. What are they going to say? What are they going to think? But you know what? He came anyway in faith. He risked it all for the sake of the gospel. And I'm standing here today giving praise to Jesus Christ because someone risked it all to come out to meet me on the campus. And let me tell you right now, the age group that's missing from our church and from all of our churches all throughout the country is this age group, 18 to 25. And let me tell you where they're at. They're sleeping in tonight, today on the college campus. They stayed up all night partying. They don't see any significance for what we're doing here on a Sunday morning. But let me tell you, we have been given a charge to go to them. To come back to the parable of the prodigal son in Luke 15, he begins to come to his senses, and the Bible says he begins to say to himself, you know what, I need to go back to the Father's house. the place that I've ran to of rebellion and willful disobedience to everything that my father would be a stand about. You know what? I just need to go back to him. I just need to go back. Everything was right when I was there. Everything went wrong when I left it. And so he begins to come to his senses and he goes back to the Father's house. And he has a whole different phrase for his life. He says, I'm going to go back to the Father and say, Father, make me whoever you want me to be. And you know, that was the cry of my heart when I came to Christ. Lord, I don't know. I've made a mess of my life. All of my relationships have failed. All of my little career choices and football, all of my little gods, they failed me and I failed them. But you know what? I'm coming to you afresh. Lord, make me whatever you want me to be. And to fast forward the story, after I came to Christ, there was me, there was another teammate. God started just putting on our heart, just pray. Just reach out. Just believe God for people on your team. Others were encouraging us. We didn't know how to preach. We still pretty much don't know how to. But God blessed our efforts again. God started touching and impacting. The wildest guy on our football team got radically transformed. He was the most bar-fightingest, beer-drinkingest, racist guy on our football team. Today, he's our pastor at Bethel Community Church in Murfreesboro. Another guy was a former Brentwood Academy star, played quarterback and wound up transferring to middle and was rebellious, running, you know, just hardened kind of life. And God rescued him, redeemed him. He's our pastor now in Clarksville, Bethel and Clarksville, Bethel Community Church. So I say that not to brag, because I'm telling you, I did not do a whole lot other than just live for Jesus and invite these guys to whatever we were doing. Pray for them. But let me tell you, this gospel is still working. And it works in the darkest places. You may be sitting here saying, man, I live in a dark place. Guess what? That's why he saved you. That's why he's redeemed you. He saves us and redeems us so that we can go and save it and redeem others. Found people, find people. Save people, help save other people. And that's what Jesus Christ did for me. Now I've been working in campus ministry the last 11 years at Middle Tennessee State. I have the honor and the privilege of working now here with Bethel World Outreach and reaching out to our Nashville campuses, helping our wonderful team here and primarily at Tennessee State. I'm so excited about what God's going to do here in Nashville and what he wants to do through us to reach all these 60,000 plus college students that are here in our area. Amen. So praise the Lord right now with me, church, and what he's done already.
Wow, you encouraged?
Yes.
Encouraged?
Yes.
Well, now it's about you and getting in the game. Because this isn't only about a few elite, you know, special forces dudes or dudettes. It's about all of us. Pastor Steve Merle, the current president of our ministry, stood here last week and said, our vision is to plant churches and campus ministries in every nation. Our international apostolic team that oversees all of every nation says one thing we're not going to let go is campus ministry. We have campus 6, I think it is, next year, campus conferences planned around the nations of the world. One is going to be here in Nashville in February. We're excited about that. When you reach a college student, you reach tomorrow's leader. When you reach a college student, because of the openness, and I don't know if you've ever heard Pastor Rice's stories. He always talks about going home over spring break, and the whole family opens up. When you reach a college student, you know, a lot of us, we love these flags, and we love nations, and we love 10 days mission trips. We don't realize that when Pastor Rice wrote his book, Every Nation in Our Generation, which I think he wrote that around 2004, 2005. The statistic, he said there were 600,000 international students studying on U.S. campuses. The latest number I have is over 1.2 million now, just 10 years later. And you want to make a difference? You want to touch a nation? You want to reach a closed nation where we may never be able to go? They're studying on our universities. And we can make a difference in the nation. When we change the campus, we change the world. Amen? So I want to get you guys involved. First of all, I want you to understand every nation. When we plant churches, we do it strategically. We look at a map that looks like, do I have that graphic? We look at a map that looks like this. See that map of the U.S.? That's a funny looking map. Looks like a map with measles. Those dots represent the number of college students and the population of where they're located. So we're not just throwing a dart at U.S. and saying, hey, I'm going to go out, you know, somewhere out in the Midwest and just plant a church. No, we're going to plant churches where we can reach the next generation. When you cut us open, and that's one of the strategic reasons we had Christy, other than she's a fantastic communicator, speak today. Because you might think if Delvin gets up and do it, or I do it, or Pastor Rice, like nobody else can, talks about the campus. But when you hear a mom with five babies saying, you know what, I went to the campus. I still go to the campus. I spend time with our campus missionaries on the campus. You'll see that when you cut us open, this is how we bleed. The second thing is not only that how we plant churches, but we actually train missionaries to go to the campus. We train them through our schools of ministry. There's one in Cape Town and there's one in Nashville. There's one just finishing up here. We had two this summer where we're training campus missionaries. This is Nick Jones. Nick, come and stand with me. Pastor Nick Jones, come on. From Greenville, North Carolina. How were you reached for the gospel?
I was reached on the high school campus.
High school campus. And then what did you do before you became national director of Every Nation Campus?
I was campus minister at East Carolina University.
Yeah, baby. Little known Mike Cantrell fact, I attended there for my freshman year, though I don't remember most of it. I didn't meet Nick. But we have a whole team of people going to the campuses. I want you to meet our local campus missionaries. Would you guys just come up? Come on up here and stand with me as we begin to wrap up today. Addison Tweedy helps to oversee Vanderbilt. Dave DeRocher, a relational evangelist, loves Belmont, goes to every campus. David Fisher is in Clarksville, Tennessee. He's just coming to be part of us. Jerry Turney, with all that Jerry does, reaching to Vanderbilt. This is Heather Heck, first single mom campus missionary, Tennessee State. This is Erin Sparks. Y'all never met her. She's going to help us reach all of our campuses. This is Laura Lever. Nick recruited her from Greenville, North Carolina. You were part of Nick's ministry there. This is Cassie Johnson, our very own Cassie, helping us at Vanderbilt. This is James Braxton. He's got a job, and he's helping us at Fisk, Delvin and Nick. Is that tremendous? Can we give them a big hand, guys? Can we just say thank you? Thank you. Wow. What a team. Man, we're making a difference at Vanderbilt, TSU, Lipscomb, Belmont, Fisk, MTSU, Austin Peay, University of Tennessee, Chattanooga, Memphis. God is using us, amen? All right, you can be seated just for one more second. It wouldn't be enough just to get up here and say, hey, we're planting churches and we're raising up missionaries. If I didn't say our local church has a part to play. You know, there's a great graphic that I saw over the weekend. Can I show that graphic? Y'all like this. We have that one right there. Now, if you don't know who that is, it's okay. I'll help you. The big dude in the middle is J.J. Watt, one of the baddest NFL dudes to play. The little dude under his left arm is Lionel Messi, the world's best soccer player. And I know the lie of the enemy right now. Maybe you're sitting there and you're like, I'm not one of those spiritual giants. I'm no Christy Cantrell. I'm no Dr. Rice Brooks. I'm no James Braxton or Erin Sparks or Heather Heck. You know what? You don't have to be J.J. Watt to help us change the world. Whether you're big or small, or whether you think I can make a big impact like these guys that are working over 40 hours a week on a college campus, or I want to make a little impact. Either impact is critical as we reach the college campus. So here's what I want you to do. You have your smartphone. Can you do me a favor? Get out your smartphone. We've boiled it down to three simple ways and practical ways you can help. Christy enlightened us, and she's talked about some of the ways I, as a coach, and she is a real estate, worked in real estate agent, how we began to just love on college students, and you can do it too. Will you help us reach the next generation on the campus? The fact of the matter is, most of us are praying about the way the world's going, but we can actually get out of the prayer closet and begin to do something right now. And if what we'll do is we'll strategically, see, if you really think back to your college days, if you guys were on colleges, usually marked with mistakes and regrets. But what I love about this next generation of Every Nation Campus of students and missionaries is it's marked with purpose and fulfillment for the kingdom of God. We can make a difference. So here's what I want you to do. First of all, we need you praying for our missionaries and the campus. If you want to say, all I can do is pray, that's more than enough. Secondly, you can just choose which one of these you want to do. Secondly, you're a businessman, businesswoman in this crowd right now. You are doing everything you can to lead it in with Christian values, and you want to make a difference, or you wouldn't be doing it either. You can say, you know what? I want to invite a college student to come along with me. I want to mentor a college student. We will make the connections for you, and whether it's once a week, once a month, once a semester, your business, you can use your business, use what you do to begin to mentor and build a relationship with a college student. Is that good? The third one is that, you know, I told you, 1.2 million internationals on our U.S. campuses. You can say, you know what? My husband and I, or my roommate and I, we want to host college students. Maybe once a month or once a semester. I want to have a dinner and just invite them over. And you know what? For me, the byproduct was my kids, my five kids, got to see college students living for Jesus. And they look up to those college students today because they saw somebody that they admired and said, man, they are living for Jesus. And we brought them into our home and fed them steak and apple turnovers. You can host. So here's the number. Will you post it up there for me? All you have to do is text our campus ministry at 615-933-2856. And you choose one of these words, pray, mentor, or host. Text that word to that number. Now you say, hey, I want to do two or three. Great. Text the top priority you want to do. And if you want to do more, we'll reach out to you and say, hey, I want to do more. Is that good? Can everybody participate in helping us reach the next generation for Jesus? Can we do that? Y'all must be busy texting. Is that good? Why don't you stand to your feet? You can text that number. I want to pray for you. Our campus team will be out in the lobby. If you'd like to meet with them, if you're a college student here, you want to get connected with a college campus, they have a table and you can go and see them. We also have tonight our college worship night that'll be right back here at 6 o'clock in the upper venue. Next service, 12:15, we're busing students from these campuses in to be part of our 12:15 service. And they'll be upstairs in the upper venue and part of what God is doing. That's great, isn't it? So I tell you what, Delvin, I'm gonna have you come and close us in prayer and just pray for us. I hope today, whether you're, you know, married with little kids or single and not sure what to do, today you'll be inspired to help us reach the next generation for Jesus here at Bethel. Amen.
Jesus, thank you so much that you're the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Lord, you're a generational God. Lord, and I pray that you would bless our congregation to never stop thinking about who's coming behind us. Lord, I thank you for every child in our children's ministry. Thank you for our middle school ministry, high school, and thank you for our campus ministry, reaching out to our students. Lord, I pray that you would mobilize an army, God, of men and women, that God would lay down their lives that others could walk freely into your kingdom. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. God bless you.
God bless you. It's been a great We Are Family series, hasn't it? It's been an awesome 6 weeks. So go be family. And if you need prayer, our ministry team will be right here up front. Don't leave before you get some prayer today. God bless you. Have a great day.